Our scripture reading for this morning will be taken from the book of Psalms 95. Psalms 95, beginning with verse 1, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth, the peaks of the mountains are His also, the sea is His, for it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the days of Massa in the wilderness, when our fathers tested me. They tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, truly, they shall not enter my rest. In our reading for this week, as we read from the early 90s through, I think we went through 97, didn't we, for our reading? And next week we'll pick up on 98 and go through 105 of Psalms. But in our reading, there were several songs. And in this particular psalm, there are two songs that we have in our songbook. We're going to try the hardest one first. Okay? You say, oh, good. That sounds really great. Turn to song number 82. This is basically the first five verses of Psalms 95. And it goes a little quicker than what you might expect. Song 82.
Know me so. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, He made it, and His hands form the dry land. Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to Him. The sea is His, He made it, and His hands form the dry land. And His hands form the dry land.
Isn't that a fun song? In verse 6, which is the place that I'm going to launch my lesson from, and my lesson is more of a worship sermon than anything else, but verse 6 is redundant. This is Psalms 95 and verse 6. Read these words along with me. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. The Hebrew word there for worship is shakah. And the way I'm going to have you try and remember that is, do you remember back when George Bush was going to run Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait? He had a title for that particular battle. You may not realize this, but the campaigns that the military are named. Do you remember what that campaign was called? Shock and Awe. Do you remember Shock and Awe? Now, what I want you to do is to say with me, Shock and Awe. Here we go. Shock and Awe. Now we're going to leave out "and." Okay? Shock-aw. You have just said the Hebrew word for worship. Shock-aw. And what it means is to bow down, to kneel, to fall prostrate. The word for worship is the word for bow down, is the word for to kneel. And so when this verse says, I mean, we're really trying to get it emphasized here. Come, let us shock-aw and shock-aw and let us shock-aw before the Lord our Maker. At least the concept is the same in all three of those. The Greek word for worship is very similar, though not in sound, but in definition. Proskuneo. Do you hear it? Proskuneo. There is almost the sense of falling prostrate, and it means to fawn or to fall down, to pay homage, and can literally be taken to lick or kiss the hand of one's master. Do you ever have your dog lick your hand? Say, yeah, especially when I've been eating Cheetos. Or to lick your face. What's that dog saying to you as it does that? I mean, it's devotion, isn't it? It is just this concept of my pet really loves me. And it makes you feel all goosey inside once you get over being grossed by the slobber, if it's a St. Bernard, right? But the idea of shock-aw or proskuneo is I pay homage to God. What am I doing when I worship God? What am I supposed to be doing when I worship God? That's our discussion for today. Have you ever been into an auditorium where worship is held? I dare say it probably was not one of ours, but they had benches on the back of the benches in front. You ever see those? And you thought it was just footrests? Have you been in those buildings where they have a lower bench that runs across the back of the one in front? What's that for? You know what it's for. To bow down. So that one sitting can all of a sudden become one kneeling. With some comfort, because the benches I've seen have always been padded, but you put your knees on there and you hang your legs off and you're able to bow in worship, especially during prayers. I know it's figuratively speaking when it says, let us kneel, let us bow. But I wonder sometimes if I am in the proper frame of mind when I pray and when I address my Lord in song. Could it be that I need a reminder from time to time what it means to worship? I think I do. I hope you will agree that this lesson today will be one that will help us get back to a frame of mind that says, wait a minute, I need to think first about my relationship to Him when I worship Him. Come, let us worship the Lord. Bow down. Kneel before the Lord, our God, our Maker. Hymn number 212. And this takes verses 6 and 7 from this psalm. And so we have already, or are about to be finished with singing half of this psalm, as I think it ought to be done, not just reading, but singing. 212.
Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. sheep of His hands, and the sheep of His hands. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand, and the sheep of His hand.
Do you see the relationship? We are sheep. And I've been told that sheep are the dumbest animals that ever lived. We are compared to sheep. Who is the shepherd? Who is the master? Who's the guide? Who's the provider? Who's the sustainer? That relationship between God and I needs to be of one of humility on my part, bowing before Him, kissing. Psalms chapter 2 says that the nations need to kiss the feet of the Savior. And instead, they were devising plans to kill Him. And Psalms 2 is basically a messianic psalm prophesying the crucifixion of Christ. So that when Christ told His disciples, I'm about to go to Jerusalem, I will be arrested, I will be beaten, I will be crucified, slain, but after 3 days I will rise from the grave. He was fulfilling the implications of Psalms 2, where the nations devised a plan against God. Doesn't that seem remarkable? That man would plot and conspire to move God from His position of deity and divinity. You say, if He's divine, that can't be done. Yeah, that's exactly right. And God is divine. He is our Maker. He is our Creator. What place should He have? If you had a dog that always bit you, would you keep him? Every time you fed him, you knew you were going to have stitches. Would you keep him? If he attacked your children, would that be a blessing? What would you do with an animal like that? You'd say, well, I'd have to get rid of it. I'd have to make certain that someone else took it. Right? All of creation does God's bidding. Do you know what part of creation doesn't do what it's supposed to do? The sun rises at God's commands. The rain clouds come at His commands. The seasons are kept at God's commands. All of creation, even animals, move by instinct that God has given them. What part of creation rebels? You and me. Mankind. And so what is the psalmist telling us? Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. This isn't a subservient, I don't want to be here kind of thing. Do you notice how fast that song moved? Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. That's identity. Does He deserve it? Well, since the beginning of time, God has said that He is to receive sacrifice. Do you remember Cain and Abel? To give to the Lord that which He deserves is simply to ascribe to Him glory and honor. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. During the time when Israel is already being established, these words are written. 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in holy array. That's 1 Chronicles 16 and verse 29. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in holy array. Now there's so many things moving in that passage. Do you see the worship scene? I see a priest coming in his garments of priesthood. The holy array is that which has been purified and is not tainted. It's not unclean. And I see that priest bringing an offering, a sacrifice to God, and doing it from the standpoint of one who is serving. But in that very act of worship, he is ascribing to the Lord, he's giving the glory that God deserves, that's due his name. And that name most often is Jehovah, is the way that God is described. I am, which is similar to how Jesus is described in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am means I was before, I am now, I will always be. I am. Moses says, who am I going to tell has sent me? What is your name? And God said, tell them I am sent you. Can you say that about yourself? No, there's going to be a time here, probably not very long, when it's he was. But he ain't. Right? We're going to die, aren't we? There was a period of time when we weren't. We didn't exist yet, but God is forever. He is eternal. The glory due his name simply means acknowledging. I am frail. He is not. I am temporal. He is eternal. He is immortal. I will be once this body of flesh is done away with and have eternal life with him if I find grace, which I trust that I will. But in retrospect, I look at myself in the presence of God, and I don't deserve to be there because I am a man of sin, whereas he is a holy God. But do you hear the psalmist? Come, let us sing joyfully to the Lord. Let us talk about the rock of our salvation. Let us sing praises to his name. Worship for us should not be a drudgery. Any more than the dog meeting its master when he comes home from work. Can't wait to get out of the door, running with tongue lolling. And you say, I don't like being compared to a licking, slobbering dog. Okay. But doesn't that demonstrate my place before God? This shouldn't be a drudgery to come and sing to him and to praise his name and to put myself into proper perspective with who he is. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. We are the sheep of his pasture. He is a great king. And so God commands that we worship him. You don't believe it? Turn to Exodus chapter 20. In the Ten Commandments, I think mostly this comes down to commandment number 2. But we'll read it in context. You can decide this idea of putting God in his proper place. Let's start with verse 1, Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. Then God spoke all these things, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the sea. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. You just take all four of those commandments together, and what do you have? Honoring God in worship. To remember the Sabbath means to remember to come before me, a day of rest. And you honor me. You don't honor any other idols or any other gods. You're not to make any graven images. You worship me and me alone because I alone am your God. And you be careful about using my name. You shall not take it in vain or as a curse. Perspective, placement, come let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Beautiful sentiments. And for the righteous, not that difficult to do. if we're just reminded from time to time of our proper place before God. But see the homage that we give. But here's where we falter. It's one thing to sing songs. It's another thing to live the Psalms. To give Him authority here and to go through the motions, perhaps not as difficult as on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, walking in His commandments. And so the last six of the Ten Commandments deals with how I treat you. Did you know that that too is an act of worship? If He never fetched a stick, would you continue to play with Him? You'd say, yeah, I'm going to get him trained one of these days. I'm going to throw that stick and my dog is going to bring it back to me. And so you hope beyond what's rational that one day maybe. You get the puppy, though, and you start to train early, and before you know it, you've got a dog. I can remember my son having a dog that would jump, I am certain, 8 feet in the air to catch a ball before it ever came down to the ground. Did you have a dog like that? You could throw it, and boom, muscles would just ripple. You know what that dog was saying? I love my master. He didn't bring that ball up saying, I won't play this game no more. When I honor God as my master, I obey Him. I do things that He wants me to do because I love Him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's the first four of the Ten Commandments. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the last six. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. Simple commands of relationship. Where do I stand with God? Come. Redundancy. Let us worship. Shaka. Let us bow down. Shaka. Let us kneel. Shaka. Before the Lord, our Maker. Is my worship what it ought to be? No. I'm sorry, it's not. I need to think. I need to examine myself. I need to understand. Not just in whose presence I am, but to whom I belong. We are the sheep of His pasture. He is the master. I am He who obeys His will. Back now to Psalms. This also is in our reading for this week. Look at Psalms 96. As we've looked at God saying, you shall not have any graven images, listen to the repeat here in verse 5 of Psalms 96. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. He is to be feared above all gods. That's what it says just previous to that in verse 4. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, little g, for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. What is it that we worship? The Creator of all things. What is it that the world worships in lieu of God? Whatever it is an idol. Think of an idol in the simplest of terms. An object? What is it? Is it a piece of stone that's been carved into an idol? Is it something that is representative of a great hero or a patriarch? Is it that which has been carved by wood? What is God? Everything that the world has to offer is but a facsimile. It's not real. And what power does it have? You want to pray to a piece of wood? For what reason? You say, well, it's tradition. Yeah. Can it see? Can it hear? We're going to talk about Psalms 94 this afternoon. And in Psalms 94, this same contrast is brought up. And the psalmist says, but wait a minute. You who aren't listening to God, guess what? This God sees. This God hears. And you want to say to Him, He's not watching, He's not listening, it doesn't matter. You'd best think again. There's a word in the Hebrew for what God is pictured as, and I'm just going to give you the Hebrew word, and you try to figure out which English word it is. But God is pictured in Psalms 94 as the Shophet, S-H-O-P-H-E-T. Our God is the Shophet. And you'll understand when we get there this afternoon how important that is to the analogy that he's making. But for now, as we think about God being our creator, our maker, we also have to remember that anything else is not. No matter what the world might offer in lieu of God and his Son Jesus Christ and the truth of the Holy Spirit, it is fallacy. You say, that sounds narrow-minded to me. Yep. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Whose words are those? Jesus's. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now you may wonder, why don't we keep the Sabbath? Because under the new covenant, Christ was raised on the first day of the week. Under the new covenant, the church was established on the first day of the week, the day of Pentecost. Under the new covenant, we find examples and after example. Acts 20 and verse 7, where the Christians gather together on the first day of the week. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 1, when you come together, be sure to take an offering for the poor on the first day of the week. John says in Revelation chapter 1, I was in the Spirit of the Lord on the Lord's day. What day is that? We worship on the first day of the week because we're under the new covenant. I think it's God saying it's not a time when the week is over, but it's at the very beginning. Do you ever have orientation before you went to class, before you had a particular subject, before you did a particular activity? Pre-game activities? Sunday's our pre-game. It gets us ready for the week. The Lord wants us to give us the very best and the very first. Honor. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Because he included in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 5 that he is a jealous God. Would you share your mate with someone else? You say, that's... No, I don't even want to think about it. What do we call that? Unfaithfulness. Adultery. For someone to expect, after making a vow of oneness, to be a threesome or a foursome, you say, ooh, that's just gross to think about. Well, that's what we do when we turn away from God to strange teachings, to idols. God says, I am a jealous God. Now, you know how jealousy usually manifests itself in unreasonable acts, but that's not God. God is jealous to keep me safe. It's like a mother rescuing a child out of the jaws of death, whether it's a speeding semi or a stream that's running nearby or a burning building. She jealously guards the life of that child. That's God. I am a jealous God. What does God know? If I don't pay allegiance to Him, if I don't honor Him, what will happen to me? I'm lost. God is light. God is life. God is love. What do you have without just those three L's? What do you got? Darkness, severance, death. I don't want that, do you? God knows that I either honor Him and He jealously guards that relationship, or I pay the price. Even in this psalm, look at the last. This is Psalms 95 as we draw to a close. Look at these words. And this is not a song, though it may ought to be. Let's start with the last part of verse 7. Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the wilderness when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people who err in their heart and they do not know my ways. Therefore, I swore in my anger, truly, they shall not enter my rest. Here is the generation that crossed the Red Sea. But they don't cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan to conquer it. Here is the generation that stood at the Mount Sinai's foot and witnessed the thunder and the lightnings and even the slaying of 3,000 who paid homage to an idol. by their own brethren, the Levite, who killed them with the sword. Here is the generation that had bread rained down from heaven in the form of manna, meat in the form of quail, ankle deep and deeper. Here is the generation that saw the brackish water turn to sweet, and even water coming from a rock twice. And yet this is the generation that never received the promised land. Why? Because in spite of all that they had seen, God says in one place, 10 times they tested me. That generation failed to live up to what God wanted them to do. They saw the giants, the walled cities, and they said, it can't be ours. And God said, I loathe this generation, and I swore they would not enter my rest. Where did they fall short? They did not obey their master. They did not do what he asked them to do. They had no faith in his power, though they had witnessed it time and time again. God said they err in their heart. They weren't thinking clear, were they? They had been impressed by the nations around them, fallen back into idolatry and doubt. And God said, those who are such are not worshiping me. They're not honoring me. They're placing other gods before me. And yes, when they pledge their homage, they're even taking my name in vain. They are not truly keeping the Sabbath day holy. Therefore, they will not be with me in the promised land. This same example is brought forth in Hebrews. We're going to see this example again, and I'll talk about Meribah whenever we get there. But this same example of a people who erred, who failed to remember, who didn't examine their heart as they should, namely, who did not come and bow down, but ones who doubted the will of God and His power in their life. May we not be like that. Come, let us worship as we stand and as we sing.